Isabel Cautivo has become one of the most prominent solo woman backpackers on the internet.
You get up and you open your tent. You're at a pristine location. You're far away from the city. You're far away from work, from school, from all these like stresses of normal life. And you're out here with no Wi-Fi, and all you can do is enjoy the space around you. I love backpacking, and I would love to do as much as I can, and I would love to help other people get outside.
Isabel has gone viral for making vulnerable and educational videos about her day trips and through hikes. She posts gear and trail recommendations, as well as immersive videos that bring viewers along on her adventures. Her most popular TikTok is about how she got into solo backpacking. Many hikers prefer to travel in groups for safety, company, and to help ease the weight of their packs. Even the most seasoned hikers might only take a solo trip every once in a while. While Isabel has only been backpacking for 5 years, she takes almost all of her adventures alone. I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Wild Ideas Worth Living, an REI Co-op Studios production brought to you by Capital One. Based on Isabel Cautivo's videos, you'd think she spends her time traveling around the world to the most beautiful locations. And while she has gone on a few international backpacking trips, Isabel also knows that sometimes the greatest natural beauty is right in her own backyard. In fact, she got into the outdoors by spending time in her neighborhood parks. Isabel Cautivo, welcome to Wild Ideas Worth Living. I'm really excited to talk to you.
I'm really excited to be here. I'm just honored and grateful to be a part of this. Thanks for having me.
How did you get into the outdoors? How did you develop such a love for it?
I think like growing up, my parents didn't take me outside too much, but I live in an area with like really beautiful rolling green hills and close local parks. So like when I was a freshman in high school, we had this bug project where we would catch bugs and like kind of pin them and like put like what species they are. And that's what actually showed me where these parks were, because I didn't even know that they were close to my house. And it skyrocketed after that. Me and my friends would just go after school, walk all the way to that local park up in the hills, like hike and then walk all the way home. I got really obsessed with that. And I started creating my own map of all the parks in my area and how they like interconnect. Once I got a car, I was introduced to like all the bigger parks in the area. So like Yosemite, like Point Reyes, Pinnacles National Park. And when I would go to these parks, I'd see people backpacking and I had no idea what that was. But I was like, oh, I want to do that.
You wanted to carry a giant backpack on your back and hike up
yes.
these hills.
I wanted to sleep outside and like see what else was out there and see like how far I could go into the wild and just like exist. I don't know.
When did you see these backpackers and where was this?
I think it was 2017 and I was like 18 years old and I took a day trip to Yosemite with two of my friends. And then we were doing the Upper Yosemite Falls Trail and I could see these people going up these switchbacks with these huge backpacks. I didn't really understand what that was. I was just like, those backpacks are huge and that looks painful. But when I got to the top, I could see people setting up their tent and I knew that they're going to stay the night. And I was like, oh my God, that is epic. So like I went to Yosemite a week later, had a hammock in my backpack and didn't really understand like what it took to be outside. So I stayed there for like the afternoon and then I hiked back down and I realized like I need gear to be able to do this stuff and I need to research what it takes to be out here. And that was like when it kind of like sparked for me. And I was just like, oh, I want to do this, but I'm nowhere near experienced enough to do this.
So how did you go from being like, I want to do that to actually going? Because taking that first step is the hardest part.
I actually ended up starting community college a month later and they had an intro to backpacking class. So I took that.
At your community college?
Yeah, my community college. Everyone's always like super psyched about this.
What college was this?
Evergreen Valley College. It's in San Jose. There's one guy, his name is Randy. He's just so psyched on the outdoors, everything outdoors. So he had this like little class to introduce students to camping and how to hike properly and how to just sustain yourself outside. So that's where I learned a lot of like my basics. And after the community college trip, I went backpacking with the people in that class because they've gone on trips before. So they showed me the ropes on like how to properly backpack. And then once I like learned all I needed to know, I started to take my friends who have never gone backpacking before. And it was just a ton of fun, like showing like my friends who have never gone. Like most of my friends were all first generations. All of our parents are immigrants. So we never really like learned much about the outdoors. We were all introduced to it like just from a friend or like from word of mouth or like seeing it if we went on these day trips. So none of them backpacked. And once I took my friends enough times, I felt comfortable going on my own.
A lot of people might be intimidated to go backpacking by themselves. But Isabel has always enjoyed the solitude of quiet mornings in the wilderness, the meditative rhythm of her own footsteps, and how confident she feels when she finishes a solo trek. After gaining as much experience as she could in class and going on trips with friends, Isabel made the decision to try her first solo adventure. The first time you ever went solo backpacking, where'd you go?
I went to a lake a little bit outside of Lake Tahoe. I think it was called Lake Sheeler. It was a very short trail. It was like 0.5 miles to the lake and then 0.5 miles back. And I've done this trail multiple times. I actually did it with my friend first, and then I went by myself, and then I took my dad like a year later.
Oh, I love that.
But I was very familiar with the trail and I felt safe there. So I thought it was like a nice place to start, and it wasn't too far from civilization. Like if I needed help, like I could just go back.
Yeah, that's smart. Do you have any stories from that first trip?
The only thing I remember from that trip is I actually watched a horror movie like 2 days before. And then I was out there and no one was there. And like the lake looked so ominous at night. And I just tried to fall asleep before it got dark because I was pretty spooked. I stopped watching horror movies after that. But that was like a really short out and back trip. I think like a couple months later, I did my first like bigger solo trip. I ended up doing like the Trans Catalina Trail solo next, and that's like a point-to-point hike across the island. So you hike across the entire island, and I did that by myself. And I thought that worked out really well because there was like on the map it would show where you would have phone reception. So I'd like update my parents every time I got to like a spot where there is reception.
I didn't know you could do that. That sounds actually really fun and like a great...
Yeah, it's nice.
A great hike. How many days did that take?
I did it in 3 nights and 4 days. I wanted to take it like slower because I didn't know how hard it would be for me. So I took a ferry from Long Beach to the island, and immediately I could see like the men look at me like, she's not going to make it. Like when I got to my first campsite, they were so surprised. Like a father on the trail was telling me how worried he was about me, like seeing me go up in a really big pack in the sun and the heat. But like I completed the trail just fine. I think the only thing I really had an issue with was the amount of bison. There were bison on the trail. There were also cars that would go down parts of the trail, and that would push the bisons towards me more. That's where I had like a big issue because they were very aggressive and they stand their ground. So I would like either wait for them to pass or go around them. But I couldn't always wait because I wanted to get to my campsite before dark. So I would kind of just go around them.
Navigating around large animals wasn't necessarily something Isabel expected to have to do. But she takes every obstacle in stride. Over the years, she has acquired lots of tricks that help her navigate backpacking alone. In 2020, she started sharing educational content for both new and experienced hikers on TikTok. her post really took off. She now has over 116,000 followers. She makes videos about what she packs for a day hike, how she maps out her treks, how she layers up on cold days, and more. Sometimes her videos just follow her along on a beautiful hike, and it's like a breath of fresh air. You have quite a following on TikTok. How did that start?
During the pandemic 2020, I was so bored. I didn't have a job. Like, I was looking for a job, and I would just hike, and I would post my hikes on TikTok. And I feel like TikTok was a really friendly community, very supportive, and it did well. But my intention was never to become like an influencer. It kind of just happened. My boyfriend was telling me to start including like my face in the videos, to start like talking and like showing like where I'm hiking and show me and not just the surroundings, because I would focus on just the views. Like, I would just post where I was at, but not me. So he had like a really big influence on how I started to post. And once I made that switch, I think that's when a lot of people would come and follow, because they could see that there's like this young like Filipino girl like who's just like super psyched to be hiking in the outdoors, because we don't see that as often. So it's like really nice to like put myself out there and see like, oh, there are like other people like me.
When we come back, Isabel talks about the challenges of backpacking alone, the safety measures she takes, where she decides to travel, and why it's important to her to keep embarking on solo adventures. Here's a cool wild idea. REI and Capital One have partnered to support the mission of creating a more equitable outdoors, something that's important to us at Wild Ideas and to you, our listeners. Through the REI Co-op MasterCard program, Capital One and REI donate $2 million every year to the REI Cooperative Action Fund. That donation supports more than 200 nonprofit organizations across the country working to create a more equitable outdoors for everyone. If you want to find local REI fund grantees in your community and learn more about the amazing work they're doing, check out the link in our show notes. And to learn more about the REI Co-op MasterCard program, go to rei.com/mastercard-podcast. That's rei.com/mastercard-podcast. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my running and surfing. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm adventuring outside. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even get out there. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start your adventure hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade and lemon lime. They also have non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients and contain 90% less sugar than the leading electrolyte drink mix. Noon hydrates you more, so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. That means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. If you're interested in giving Noon Hydration a try, head into your local REI store before your next adventure or purchase at rei.com. Anything can happen after noon. Happy hydrating! Hey everybody, I have a sweet deal you're going to want to take advantage of for your summer adventures. We know it can be hard to find a campsite in peak season. That's why HipCamp and REI Co-op have teamed up to offer the Summer of Magic Campout Series. If you haven't heard of HipCamp, it's the simplest way to find and reserve the best campsites on Earth. Think over 5 million acres of beautiful, private camping you won't find anywhere else. All summer long, you have a chance to win free campouts and experiences at the most incredible campsites in the country. This might mean a fully loaded campout with gear and snacks, secluded spots next to beautiful waterfalls, or even the ultimate pup-friendly road trip. All you have to do is say yes to magic. Want in? Sign up at hipcamp.com/magic. You'll get notified when new experiences are announced. Once they are, they will be awarded on a first-come, first-served basis. So make sure you're prepared and sign up today. Again, that's hipcamp.com/magic for a chance to be part of Hip Camp and REI's Summer of Magic Campout Series. If you find yourself on the hiking side of TikTok, it's only a matter of time until you come across one of Isabel Cativo's videos. Not only are they visually stunning, they're also engaging and informative. Isabel's a solo hiker, which has its pros and cons. On one hand, Isabel has developed a deep personal relationship with nature. On the other, if something goes wrong, it might be harder to get help. That's why she chooses well-known treks in safer areas. You're a young woman, you're hiking alone. What kind of challenges have you had to deal with?
Yeah, I think a lot of parents aren't that psyched to have their like young daughter like go out on her own. So I think that was like one of my biggest challenges. My parents were so terrified when I would say, oh, I'm going to go do this by myself. Like for a while, like this is like not good, but I wouldn't tell them. I would tell them I would go with a friend, and then I'd give my friends really detailed itineraries of like what I was doing. And then I was like, okay, if you don't hear from me in like this amount of time, then you tell my mom. So that it never came down to that. And I was always really good about that. And after a while, when things started to build up on social media more, I had to tell my parents like what was going on. And my dad is very supportive. My mom is supportive, but she still doesn't want me backpacking alone. She's always worried. I was able to get like a satellite Garmin phone for Christmas like 2 years ago, and that has helped ease a lot of their worries.
Some people lie to their parents about like going partying with their friends. Like, you were backpacking. I feel like, meh, it's like there's worse things to lie about. It's okay. You're alive. Now you don't lie to your parents. You have taken your dad hiking, backpacking, so he can see that you're competent. But what other challenges came up?
I think the fact that I was a girl and going alone worried a lot of people. When I post like my trips on social media, a lot of like men are just like, take a gun. Where's your boyfriend? Like,
take a gun.
Where's the man who's taking care of you? And I'm like, no, like, I honestly don't respond because I don't want to. But I think that kind of sucks having them comment like that. And like, it feels a bit demeaning.
So what do you do about safety? Like, your parents are concerned for you. Like, you get comments on social media. Like, you're sometimes concerned for yourself. What kind of things do you take with you to just be safe out in the wilderness on your own?
I have like a small like alarm system that I put like on the zipper of my tent. So like if someone were to pull it, like it would go off. I carry bear spray, not just for bears, but also for like anyone who tries to attack me. But I feel like when I go outside, I usually am surrounded by like-minded people who are really friendly and not out to get you. But I don't want to be too naive because I know like things do happen. So like just a knife, like bear spray, and that alarm system is mostly what I carry.
To date, Isabel has done more than 20 solo backpacking trips. After getting out on trails near her house, she started to venture farther afield. Isabel has traveled abroad to go on some longer treks. First, she went to Iceland in the summer of 2022, and a couple of months later, she went to Europe to attempt the Tour de Mont Blanc. In January of 2024, she flew all the way to New Zealand to spend a whole month hiking. Each of these trips has helped her overcome fear to feel stronger and bolder than ever. After you do one of these trips, what does it do for your sense of confidence?
Oh, I'm like ecstatic. I come back and I feel so confident and like so empowered. It really helps me in other areas of my life where I have like less confidence, because I'm like, oh, if I could do this outside all by myself and complete this and like have fun doing it, then I can do anything or like do
other. Do you have any stories of that? Or, like examples that you can share?
Yeah. So in January, I started my new job at Stanford as a microbiologist.
No big deal.
This past year, I had a really hard time finishing school at Stanford because everyone I was up against, they were so bright, so smart, and I just felt very little, like I couldn't compete with them. So right before I started my new position, I went to New Zealand for 1 month and I went alone. I learned how to drive on the opposite side of the road and I backpacked as much as I could. So like when I was out there, I did at least 6 backpacking trips where I'd camp out in the mountains or on the coast. And that made me feel so, so confident coming back. Like if I could go to a new country and like hike all these trails and camp alone, I could do this position. It just helped me realize that I am capable of doing like these hard things.
You know, when I graduated college, I graduated a semester early and I also went to New Zealand. I went to Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, and it was awesome. That was probably one of the best countries to be a solo traveler. People are super nice.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think like just New Zealand was the smart choice. Like I went there because it's summer there during our winter, but the people there were so kind. Like I would love to live there if I had the chance to. And their trails are great. Like they have a great trail system. Everything's really maintained and organized. And there's no predators. So I think that was just this like so great. No bison.
So what's the longest solo backpacking trip you've done?
I attempted to do the Tour de Mont Blanc through France, Italy, and Switzerland. So I completed the France and Italy portion. So I think this trail is over 100 miles. But I got salmonella on the trail.
Oh, no. Yeah. Poor thing.
So I finished half of the trail. So I was around 50 miles in before I called it quits.
How do you think you got salmonella? From water or from food?
Definitely from the water. I think this was a pretty rookie mistake. I started in Chamonix and I was asking people who just finished the trail, like, oh, what piece of gear do you think I could leave behind? Like what did you not use? And one guy said, don't bring your water filter. Like there are faucets like along the trail that you can drink from and those are like completely safe. And I was just like, okay. And I left that behind. Turns out like I was doing a somewhat different trail than they were, and they also stayed at the huts the whole time and I was wild camping. So when I was out there, I realized I made that mistake. So I then turned to like boiling all of my water, but I feel like I just didn't boil it long enough. And there were a lot of cows on the trail. And I feel like I just got run off from those farms. There's a halfway point on the trail that goes through a bigger town called Comayer. And I stopped at that town, realized I was sick. I had a bit of trouble translating to like the people in the pharmacy. And my boyfriend actually helped arrange a car for me to get back home.
That must have been kind of scary. How was it getting back on the trail after that?
After the Tour de Mont Blanc, I was like honestly terrified of backpacking abroad. So my first idea was to come back home and do a trail that felt very safe to me. There are these three local parks, Sunol Regional Wilderness, Del Valle, and Mission Peak. And Mission Peak is a very popular trail in the Bay Area, and they're all connected. I spent like 3 days hiking from one park to the next, and one of them kind of just ended like near my house. So that really helped bring my confidence back, like doing this like 3-4 day backpacking trip close to home, knowing I still know what to do outside, gave me that little boost of confidence in backpacking back after getting sick abroad.
How does solo backpacking make you feel? Like you've talked a little bit about the confidence it brings you, but I'm just curious, like, why are you such an evangelist of the sport and activity? You've shared it with so many other people, which is great.
It's a really peaceful sport. I'll go out there by myself. Like I'm immersed in nature. There's no like hustle and bustle like from the city. I think it's really hard in the Bay Area. Everyone's really competitive, really focused on like working their way up. So like being able to like step outside of that bubble and just remind myself like there are other areas of life that we often forget about when we're so focused on like our career and making it. So I like the peace that it brings. since I'm really introverted and I have to like interact with a lot of people for like either like social media or like my job, it's nice to like just step away and like go outside by myself and like spend time camping in nature to like just recharge. So I'm ready to face whatever is waiting for me.
Being alone almost magnifies these profound experiences sometimes that we have in the wilderness. Do you have any stories of just seeing something so beautiful in nature, whether it was an animal or a waterfall or something that you'll just never forget?
Yeah, I think the first thing that came to mind was that Upper Yosemite Falls Trail. Just driving, like once you exit the tunnel and like you see the views of Half Dome and the falls, like it's so grand. And as a kid, like that just blows your mind. I think the first time of seeing that huge waterfall, and it made me feel so small, that was a big moment. Feeling like the air and the breeze from the waterfall, being able to hike to the top of it. It's huge. Like I think that was like one of like my favorite moments. When I started to solo backpack, I found a lot of island backpacking to be really fun. I loved waking up on the beach, having the whole ocean to myself, seeing the sunrise and the different colors in the sky, and like just being out in the sand by myself with like this huge ocean. I like opening up my tent and just seeing this new area that's isolated from like the rest of the world. Like I feel like I'm just out there on my own and I have this area to myself. It's very exciting.
All I can hear is the sound of the river, the sounds of the birds and the cows. This moment, like the moment I get up after camping out for the night, that's the moment that makes me really love backpacking.
Isabel, thank you so much for coming on the show. Fun fact, Isabel also told me in our conversation that she met her boyfriend when he was working at REI and he helped her buy her very first pair of climbing shoes. So I guess if you're looking for love, consider stopping by your local REI. Check out Isabel's beautiful videos on TikTok at Isabel Cautivo. That's IsabelCautivo. You can also find her on Instagram and YouTube. Wild Ideas Worth Living is part of the REI Podcast Network. It's hosted by me, Shelby Stanger, produced by Annie Fassler, Sylvia Thomas, and Sam Pierce-Nitzberg of Puddle Creative. Our senior producers are Jenny Barber and Hannah Boyd. Our executive producers are Paolo Motola and Joe Crosby. As always, we love it when you follow the show, take time to rate it, and write a review wherever you listen. And remember, some of the best adventures happen when you follow your wildest ideas.